You never know what you'll get with a guest preacher. I'm just going to name that and put it out there as we get started. I'm going to name some other things that you may be able to see, and I'll explain them. One is I'm wearing my United Methodist stole this morning because I am a United Methodist. And if you've been following the news this week, the United Methodist made a declaration in St. Louis that, in my mind, was pretty horrible. And out of defiance of what was said there, I am wearing a rainbow stole as an outward sign to say that I believe God welcomes all people into the church, and that God gives gifts to all people, and those persons go into all the world with all kinds of different forms of ordination and gifts and graces and proclaim God's presence. And even as I stand in defiance, my ministry, West M, also is fully inclusive of LGBTQ persons. Our local United Methodist Church, First United Methodist Church, is fully inclusive. Our conference of Oregon and Idaho is fully inclusive. Our Episcopal area, that includes Oregon, Idaho, Washington, and all of Alaska, is fully inclusive despite what may have been said this week. In fact, the entire Western jurisdiction, the entire Western side of the United States proclaims full inclusion of LGBTQ persons. And in fact, throughout the nation and throughout the world, there are pockets of United Methodists who stand in unison with us and with all people. That's not my sermon this morning, but I needed to name it because it's important, because all God's people are important. A guest preacher, you never know what you're going to get. Your leaders were either brave, faithful, or perhaps stupid in giving their pulpit to me. I'll let you decide. Guest preaching, you never know what you're going to get, especially when you're following the lectionary, because some of the scriptures are a little less exciting than others. The good news is we got a good one this morning. A good collection of scriptures, ending in our gospel lesson, which is about the transfiguration. I love these passages because they're all about mountaintops, and I love mountains. And they're about that glow that comes, that can emanate from us when we have a close experience with God. A glow that sometimes is so powerful that we have to tone it down, that we have to veil it, lest it outshines people. I like mountaintops. A lot of good things happen on mountaintops. In our Bible, we find mountaintops throughout it. We hear about a boat that saved all of humanity in two persons or a family that landed on a mountaintop as the floodwaters receded and a covenant, a rainbow covenant, was made with all of humanity for all time on a mountaintop. Moses encountered a burning bush up on a mountaintop. Moses experienced God and brought the Ten Commandments down from a mountaintop. Still, quiet voices spoke into caves and caverns as prophets sheltered in a mountaintop. Jesus preached his Sermon on the Mount on a mount. The Transfiguration happens on a mountaintop. The prayers in Gethsemane are on a hillside or a small mountaintop. The crucifixion is on a hill of Golgotha. A lot of good things happen on a mountaintop. For me personally, a lot of good things have happened on mountaintops. I have been fortunate to live in the Swiss Alps in the Colorado Rockies, in Montana, up by Glacier National Park, and I love climbing up hills. My own call to seminary happened on a mountaintop, 14,000 feet on the top of Pikes Peak. Have any of you been on top of Pikes Peak? You can cheat. You can drive up Pikes Peak. Have any of you hiked up Pikes Peak? It's actually a pretty easy hike if you have enough time and enough energy. I was sitting up on top of Pikes Peak with one of my best friends at the time, Chad. He's an atheist. Was then, is now. He knew I was considering going into ministry. We'd known each other for a number of years. And I was kind of wrestling with that idea, asking him, should I go off to seminary or should I go into counseling or something like that? And I still remember his words. He said, Rob, I don't know. And I don't believe in this God thing. But if I were ever to listen to someone, it would be someone like you, not some of the other pastoral voices I've heard. He didn't know it. He was speaking God's words at that moment. Perhaps you have some mountaintop experiences. Times when you feel like you have encountered God, that you've gotten so close to an idea or a concept that it shakes you, that it makes you glow, it gets you excited, it gets all those synapses firing in your head. Good things happen up there. But I've also learned something else, that it's not just about the mountaintop. Stories told. 20 years ago, there was an old controversy that was rekindled when climbers on Mount Everest found the body of George Mallory buried beneath the ice on the north face of the mountain. A broken altimeter was in his pocket, and it suggested that he had likely been the first to reach the summit before dying on the descent. If so, Mallory would have been the first man to stand atop the world's highest peak, beating Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay to this feat by almost 29 years. But when news of this discovery reached Hillary, who was then 79 years old, he was remarkably unperturbed. With cool understatement, Sir Edmund told a television reporter, "Coming down is also important." What would have happened if they'd stayed in the ark on the top of that hill? What would have happened if Elijah heard the still small voice and stayed in that cave? Or if Moses stayed up on the hill with his Ten Commandments? Or if Jesus was still just sitting on a hill preaching? Or if during the transfiguration, Jesus and his three disciples stayed on that hill as was suggested? We need to come down. And coming down is not always easy. I do a lot of hiking. This sermon was written on top of one of the hills right above Corvallis. And one of the things I have learned is that it is almost always a lot harder going down than coming up. And many of you who haven't done a lot of hiking may not agree with that. But my experience is as you're going up, you've got your backpack and you're stepping and lifting that weight. But as you're going down, you're catching that weight. Every time you come down, your entire pack passes through your body and lands on your feet, as your feet try and stop the gravity. The other thing I have learned about coming down the mountain is that it's a lot easier to get lost. When I was in Colorado, I had this thing where I would just drive out in some of the vast national forests out there and would just look at a hill and decide to climb it and pull my car over on the side and hike the hill. Not on a trail, just find my way up. And I remember doing that one time of an afternoon, and I was hiking up the hill. How many tops to most mountains are there? One. It's pretty easy finding your way up the mountain. And I found my way up to the top of that mountain. I sat up top and I enjoyed the view. And perhaps like the disciples with Jesus, I thought I'd stay there a while. And I stayed there too long. Dusk came and I started down. And then darkness came. And in that, I quickly found myself a little turned around because there was no trail I hiked up. And out in the middle of Colorado, there's a lot of places I could have parked my car. So if you think of a mountaintop as a cone with one top and a circular bottom, how many different places are there at the bottom of that mountain? An infinite. Depending upon how small you slice those places, there was an infinite number of places I could have ended up as I wandered down in the dark. Spoiler alert, I found my car, I got home safe. It's easy to get lost coming back down the mountain, but we're called to do it. And we're called to proclaim what we have seen, to let God's love radiate out from us. Perhaps you know the author of these words. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now because I have been to the mountaintop and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. I'm so happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Anyone know who that was? Martin Luther King Jr., the day before he was assassinated. In that same speech in Memphis to the sanitation workers' strike, he said, "It's all right to talk about long, white, dazzling robes over yonder in all of its symbolism. But ultimately, people want some suits and dresses and shoes to wear down here. It's all right talking about streets flowing with milk and honey, but God has commanded us to be concerned about the slums down here and His children who can't eat 3 square meals a day. It's all right to talk about the New Jerusalem, but one day, God's preacher must talk about the New New York, the new Atlanta, the new Philadelphia, the new Los Angeles, the new Memphis, Tennessee. This is what we have to do. And might I add, the new Corvallis. For racism did not end on that night in Memphis. It didn't end when Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. It didn't end when we elected our first black president. Racism is very alive. Last year, my first year in Corvallis, there on the OSU campus, we had an out white supremacist on the student body board. 2 doors down from my ministry, a big Confederate flag is flying over the Black Cultural Center. Racism. That makes you uncomfortable, doesn't it? Makes me uncomfortable. It's easy to think it's somehow far away. And I had this startling revelation about a month ago. I was walking my dog. I live up on top of Witham Hill. walking my dog in local cemetery, and there as I'm walking, I'm looking down, and one of the tombstones reads, Amy, the slave of Mary and John Porter. A few hundred yards from my backyard, chiseled in stone is the evidence of racism and slavery right here in this state that has always been a free state. Granted, we forbid blacks from being here, but they were here. And chiseled in stone is evidence that some of them were still slaves. What do we do when we come down from mountaintops? When we have revelations? My prayer this day is that the words that have fallen and continue to fall from my mouth, the meditations that rise up in your hearts, might be pleasing to God, acceptable to our rock and our Redeemer. Where do we go as we shine and vibrate? One of my great privileges in life is getting to do campus ministry. There I get to encounter all kinds of students from all kinds of backgrounds, from all kinds of places, and headed in various directions. Sometimes I get to see them have mountaintop experiences. Sometimes I get to see them go out throughout the world and shine God's love. This week I was talking with one of my students from last year who's in Thailand right now, going to church for the first time with his Thai friends. Another student is in China, meeting in Bible studies that have to meet rather quietly because they aren't always fully sanctioned by the government. They're veiling God's vibrant age can get out. Where is God speaking to you today in your personal life, in the life of this congregation, calling you to come down from the mountain? Or perhaps calling you to listen to others who have just come down from the mountaintop. Calling you to transform yourselves, this church and this community, into a more loving place. Are you like the disciples and just wanting to build your little shelter and stay in cozy warmness? Or do you dare to go where God calls you? God's word for us this day and every day. Let us pray. God of mercy and God of grace, we give you thanks for the mountains and the hills, for the valleys and the streams. We invite you to be at work in our life, in our hearts, in our church, and in our communities, in ways that transform people, all people, not just a few chosen, but all of creation. Teach us how to be bold with what we say, with what we do, for how we live, for how we give, for how we share, for how we serve, for who we are in you. In God's great name we pray.